The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. What happens after the game wraps up, either when the day is done or the professional career is done? We'll take a look at what your favorite athletes are doing when they aren't in the game. Now, here is your host, Lamar Campbell.
Welcome back to Life After the Game, LATG Radio, broadcasting to you live from Connecticut School of Broadcasting, the nation's oldest and largest group of broadcast media schools. Check them out on the web, www.gocsb.com, or give them a call at 1-800-TV-RADIO. What's up, listeners? As you can see, my voice is a little hoarse, but it was a crazy week down there in New Orleans, a.k.a. the Big E's, and I'm sure you all were entertained by the Super Bowl this past weekend. Super Bowl 47 was amazing. However, I was at the game, and everyone thought that the blackout was really a big deal. You have to understand that the Big Easy lived up to his name that weekend. Only thing that happened during the blackout is everyone went up and got more drinks, and it was a party in the hallway. So everything turned out well. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We have Derek Faulkner, former Philadelphia Eagle, joining us today. He's going to be speaking about some of the great things that he did down in New Orleans, a celebrity golf tournament that benefited athletes, not only athletes, but also our Army veterans as well, too. So that's going to be a great show. Give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. Send me a tweet on Twitter at Life After T Game. Again, that's Life After T Game. Great weekend, guys. I mean, got an email coming in already. Yes, I know my voice is hoarse, but know what? I know. I did call for San Francisco to win the game. And as a former player, listen, you have to understand, you get off the field long enough, you start analyzing games, you get on radio, and you forget why the game is played. You forget how much emotion is involved with football. I mean, you look at the story of O.J. Brigant, the special teams MVP from their first Super Bowl, who's now in the wheelchair. You look at the tragic passing of Art Modell, of course, the owner of the football team. Torrey Smith, the tragedy of him losing his brother. The miracle at Mile High. And then the last season of Ray Lewis. This was a team of destiny. And sometimes you look at the X's and O's, you look at the matchups too much, you forget that that's why we play the game. And of course, Baltimore Ravens gave us a great show that weekend. So what'd you think? I mean, you know, we had a great weekend. We had a great weekend of football. Now here was some in CSB offices and got a new, he helping me out today, my engineer. He's helping me out today. So I have to get his input. What'd you think about the game on Sunday?
Oh man, I hate to be the doubting Thomas here, but you know, the Super Bowl, it left something to be desired for me. I didn't think it was one of the better games.
That was a great game after the lights came on? Really?
No.
Why not?
It was because of the lights.
Right.
The lights going out, you had the 35-minute delay, and not just that, it was the three touchdowns that the supposedly impregnable 49er defense gave up in the first half.
Right.
The running game that they didn't stop.
Right.
The turnovers by, you know, almost every key player on the team, from, you know, Kaepernick throwing the pick to, you know, receivers dropping the ball to fumbles. And then like a 35-minute lockout, and then all of a sudden, obviously, that did help the 49ers.
Jesus. Right. Of course. I mean, momentum is huge in the game in the NFL. So, I mean, you get a 109-yard kickoff return, and then the lights go out.
And then they tie the game up.
But what about that comeback?
The comeback was awesome. But it's just the whole synopsis, like I said. The turnovers, all the touchdowns in the first half.
Right.
It was about to be a blowout as soon as Jacoby Jones ran all the way back for 108 yards.
Now,
this is about to be one of those Super Bowls I grew up watching when I was a little boy, when you had a 35-point lead at halftime.
But you know what? The San Francisco 49ers, you know, and I agree with you 100%, they had two halftimes.
Yeah.
They had Beyonce's halftime, and then the lights went out for another
30
minutes.
And it was not her fault that power went out.
Oh, it was not her fault. It was not her fault that power went out. I got an email coming in. Oh, I got a conspiracy theorist.
Uh-oh, what we got?
Shout out to my man Sean from New Orleans, we didn't appreciate the way Roger Goodell did our football team, so we turned the lights out. Shout out to you, Sean. I'm not mad at you, Sean.
I know he's joking.
I don't know. I don't know if he's joking or not. But
I like to think that guy's not incriminating himself over the World Wide Web.
I'm hoping he's not incriminating himself. But as a, you know what? That's a funny conspiracy theory. But let me ask you this. I was at the game.
Okay.
What did CBS do while the game was off for 30 minutes? Did they show commercials? Were they up?
They went to James Brown and the rest of the CBS NFL crew for about, 15 minutes, I think. And then they tried to get the power back on.
Right.
Still didn't have any success there. And then they went to Solomon Wilcox on the sideline. They went to Steve Tasker.
Right.
They talked to them for a little while. So.
Right. I mean, being there at the stadium, and I'm getting mixed feelings because you watched it at home. I'm taking it.
Yeah.
People at the stadium didn't have any problem at all.
They did.
They did not. All everyone did was go up and get more drinks.
Really?
And there was a party in the hallway.
Now, there weren't
they
any,
had
like,
bands in there.
Were they like fights or?
There were no fights.
No fights. No drinks.
Everyone was full of libations. Ooh. Everyone was tipsy, having a good time. Oh, the lights went out. There were calls for Beyonce and Destiny Child to come back out and sing.
Oh, really?
But there was no ruckus going on in the stands at all.
What you thought about with Jennifer Hudson and Alicia Keys?
I thought it was
American Beautiful.
Well, let me just start with this.
Okay.
Shout out to our sisters.
Because
it was all African American women that had an opportunity to perform at the Super Bowl.
There you go.
And that's the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah.
So shout out to them first of all.
Hey, the world stage.
I'm a big Alicia Keys fan.
Yeah.
I'm really hard to touch. I don't know if it's my football makeup or growing up in South Philly. I'm really hard-hearted. Yeah. But when the kids got out there and sang, from Connecticut.
Oh yeah.
I was touched on a level that I have not been touched in a long time.
Kids who actually went to that school. Well,
I mean, Sandy Hook Elementary. I mean, Sandy Hook Elementary School. When those kids sang America the Beautiful, it was not many dry high eyes in the Superdome.
It wasn't.
Everyone. We all stood up. Everyone was standing. I mean, everyone was crying because all of us, mostly everybody, I'm sure, were some of parents or uncles.
Yeah.
Or brothers.
Oh,
and to see those kids, knowing that the tragedy that they went through, see them out there singing America the Beautiful, I mean, it touched me in a way that I have not been touched in a long time. And I have Jennifer Hudson and Alicia Keys and Beyonce.
And she tore it up at halftime.
These sisters, the headliners.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to keep it real with you, man. I'm a Kelly fan. I like B, but I was really hyped when Kelly came out. I love Kelly.
Okay.
That's the Chocolate Girl Wonder right there. I love Kelly.
Rollins.
Yes, sir.
I love
Kelly Rowland. If you're just tuning in, Life After the Game, 1-888-346-9144, LTG Radio. But yeah, man, Kelly looked good. I mean, Beyonce looked great. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with B. B put on that hell of a show.
Yes, she did.
Got their money's worth. I'm going to tell you, B put on a hell of a show. But man.
Jay-Z is a lucky man.
Kelly almost stole it, man. Kelly almost stole it for me.
She did.
But, you know, there were rumors going around that Beyonce wasn't going to invite Destiny's Child, you know, so we really weren't expecting them to be on
stage.
They
were trying to keep that quiet.
They were trying to keep it quiet. They were like, no, they're not coming on. So when the girls came out, you know, the crowd went crazy and, you know, the setup was amazing. To see the setup in person.
Yeah.
They put that stage together, I promise you, in 5 minutes.
Oh.
From tunnel to tunnel, the crew put that stage together in 5 minutes. To see it in person.
They must have had the best stage hands in the country.
Well, listen, the stage hands get to stay for the concert. All the people that were there in a circle, those are the stage hands.
Yeah, I'm a stage hand myself. I do. So I can understand what those guys do.
Oh, man, they did
a great
job. We
took down the WWE show last night. So
oh, man.
I know exactly what those guys did.
Oh, man, yeah. So, you know, that was amazing. And Beyonce put on a great show. And for the record, again, she did not make the power go out. Email just came in. Actually, funny story, true story, email just came in that the NFL was actually warned about a power outage a couple of months ago.
You know, I heard about that earlier this morning.
Email came through from the Associated Press today. I read it today that the NFL was, and I actually interned in the NFL department, events department.
Yeah.
And I know the guy extremely well, a gentleman that runs it, and I know he is a stickler for detail. And so for that to happen, he did not know that was happening. I've had the opportunity to work under him. And he would not have had, I mean, but according to Sean from New Orleans, he pulled the plug because of what they did to the New Orleans Saints. So, Sean, if you're listening, shout out to you, man. I think you caused a lot of people at home a lot of strife, man, waiting for 34 more minutes.
Hey, Sean, I hope that's a pseudonym that you're using over the air right now.
I hope
not
so
your
too.
I hope that's not your real name or your real email.
Because they're listening, man. Because they are listening. But your favorite commercial? What was your favorite commercial?
You know what? This is gonna sound corny, but if you remember seeing the commercial where the library scene, you had the two guys whispering to each other, and then you had the two guys at the top of the balcony in the library. They were fighting. They fell off the top of the library. And all the time they were fighting and swinging upon each other's face, they were still
whispering.
And the cops burst through the door with the squad car. The cop picks up the megaphone. He speaks through it, and he's like, "Hey, you guys got to cut it out. We're the police."
That, I'm saying my favorite, too. I didn't have a problem with the Volkswagen Jamaica.
Oh, yeah, the white guy speaking in the Jamaican accent.
I did not have a problem with that. I thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny.
Don't worry, man. Sticky bun comes soon. That was hilarious.
That was ridiculous.
And the other one I really liked is when the dad was trying to explain to his son where babies came from.
Whoa,
and he told him the story about the babies and the planet and all that. That was funny. And even the E-Trade kid traveling around the world was kind of funny.
I like that M&M commercial that they put out there, too.
Oh, with the young lady from Glee.
Anything for love.
Oh, yeah. The girl from Glee. Yeah, she made that commercial. Oh, she's very nice looking lady. I don't watch Glee, but shout out to her. Shout out to her. Santana, I think they call her. But long story short, man. So as far as the game is concerned, I thought it was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see Ray Lewis go out on top.
Yeah, he's a winner.
I was really excited to see that. I thought Jacoby Jones played a heck of a game. I thought Anquan Boldin played a great game, even after them speaking about letting him go.
The Ravens earned it. I agree. The Ravens earned it. They took it.
The quality of the game for me. Right.
Could have been
and someone
a lot
sitting
better.
On a, someone sitting on it.
Last year's game with the Patriots and Giants.
Right.
Much better game.
You know what? I think
Super Bowl classic.
You know what? One of the things that I think, and I was telling some people that when I was driving back from New Orleans, and shout out to New Orleans. My diet went to hell in New Orleans, but it was worth every bite. Driving back, the experience at the Super Bowl, I'm sure it was a lot better than everybody at home.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the lights went out, Superdome just turned into a party. Everybody drank more. They had bands in there playing in the hallway. Okay, everybody's out there dancing.
Everybody drank more. They danced. They partied.
And then when the game came back, everybody sat back down. Like nothing happened.
So that's why it's the Big Easy.
Yeah, the Big Easy. And that's why I think our experience there at the game was completely different than people that had to watch it at home and wait for 30 minutes to watch CBS fumble over that power outage. But on a grand scale, you can't have that at the Super Bowl. You can't have the power go out.
No, you can't.
You cannot have the power go out at the Super Bowl.
Now, the NFL said that they had a contingency plan just in case the power went out.
They had a second generator. Right.
But the fact that that happened, and it happened on their watch at an NFL-sanctioned event, it's not a good look for the league.
It's not a good look
from the image standpoint, in my opinion.
And I'll say this, man. You know, no one was really – everyone that I spoke with after the game, I went live on CNN with Don Lemon after the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
And nobody was mad at New Orleans.
Nobody?
No one. No one said, we don't want to come back to New Orleans. New Orleans is a perfect place for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they've done 10 of them so far.
They've done so many Super Bowls, so I'm sure New Orleans – this will not be a black eye on New Orleans. But everyone was mad at the NFL.
You know,
that
makes me think about the Super Bowl from just a year ago. Not last year, but the year before that, when it was in Dallas.
Right.
And if you were there, I wasn't there either. I watched it at home like most of the country.
Right.
But from what I'm hearing, the reports, from what I understand, and maybe you have a better insight than I do, being that you're involved in the league.
Right.
It was a catastrophe, from what I understand. When it snowed in Dallas, it was like 22 degrees.
Oh, man.
The snow was on the ground.
Yeah.
There was a big section of the stadium where the seats were unfit to sit in. People wanted their money back.
I mean, look, you got to understand, Jerry Jones, if you can build a new stadium in the NFL, part of that is you're going to get the Super Bowl in a couple of years. So next year is in New York. A lot of people are saying, oh, why is it going to be New York? It's going to be cold. It's not going to be a good Super Bowl. But they spend a lot of money on that MetLife Stadium. And part of that deal is we get a Super Bowl within the next 5 or 6 years. You bring a Super Bowl to us.
Is that like some unwritten rule or a handshake agreement?
Allegedly. But if you follow new stadiums, a Super Bowl usually follows that new stadium within a couple of years.
Okay.
You know, so that's what we're getting.
So Jerry
Jones' playpen, the billion-dollar playpen, was eventually going to get that Super Bowl once. If the weather was great, it would have been a great Super Bowl. But I will say this. It was hard because it was hard to get around.
Yeah.
It wasn't as much as the weather. Mm. It was the travel conditions because Dallas is somewhat spread out.
Yeah.
So it was hard to get everywhere, and that was really the big problem in Dallas.
And from what, locally speaking,
right.
The Atlanta Falcons,
right.
who are also trying to get themselves a new stadium, and from what I'm hearing from different reports back and forth, that it's going to happen. And it's going to be Arthur Blank and maybe some investors that may be involved. I mean, at this point, you know, the reports are sketchy right now. Nothing's confirmed.
Right.
But they're going to get a new stadium. Now, should the Falcons get a new stadium?
I don't think so. And this is why I don't think Falcons should get a new stadium. It's not going to be in Atlanta.
Yeah, I heard reports it may be out here in Gwinnett.
It may be out in Gwinnett.
Or somewhere else.
And I don't think... I just don't think that's going to be good for the fan base. It's fickle anyway. I'm going to keep it real to you. Atlanta fan base.
Oh, I agree with you.
It's really fickle. So to send them out there to Gwinnett is something I think is going to hurt the team.
Here's another thing I don't like about when it comes to the Falcons fans. These people are extremely cocky about a football team that has won absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you get that a lot. I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. I went to the Seattle game, wanted Seattle to win a San Fran game, thinking San Fran was going to win.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just where we are. But that's another story. But stay tuned. We're getting ready to go to commercial. When I come back, I'm going to have former Philadelphia Eagle Derek Faulkner on the line. He's got some great charitable things going on. He had a great golf tournament down in New Orleans. When we come back, we will talk to my man, Derek Faulkner. Stay tuned. LATG Radio.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests the chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster to work to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is Lomas Brown, former Detroit Lion and current NFL analyst, and this is my life after the game.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, LATG Radio, beautiful Connecticut School of Broadcast. It's talking a little Super Bowl 47. What turned out to be what was supposed to be the Hardball Bowl ended up being the Blackout Bowl. But I thought the libations were flowing, the people were great, and the food was greasy. Just like I like it, man. But on the show now, we definitely want to bring in my man, former Philadelphia Eagle, my man Derek Faulkner. What's up, D-Falk?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Everything is good, man. Everything is good. How are things with you?
Everything's good. Just been real busy. I had a successful celebrity golf event in New Orleans for the Super Bowl on Saturday. It went very well, so, you know, I'm just blessed to be here.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, tell us a little bit about the golf tournament, man, and how you got started.
Well, we founded Athletes for Vets 2 years ago, I'm from the Northeast, from Southern New Jersey. I come from two military parents. So I looked to try to touch base and do some philanthropic work in the veteran military and veteran community. So I founded Athletes for Vets and was able to fuse my NFL influence and my football career and all the folks, the good folks that I know within professional sports, and able to fuse that into doing some philanthropic work with our military veterans. It took us about a year of planning for this golf tournament in New Orleans. We ended up being hosted by one of the oldest, or the oldest country clubs in New Orleans, Metairie Country Club. And it went well. We had about 15 celebrities playing, Hall of Famer, just to name a few, Hall of Famer, Chris Dolman, Eagle and Redskin legend Brian Mitchell, former UCLA coach Rick Neuhausel, former New York Giant Brian Kelly, and just to name a few. So it definitely was a positive weekend. We were able to raise some money. We had about 30 naval troops from the local naval air station in Bella Chase, Louisiana to attend. So it went well. Went real well.
That's good, man. I mean, that was an awesome event, man. I'm really proud of me, proud of what you've done, man. I mean, being a son of military parents, I'm sorry. I mean, Athletes for Vets Foundation is just awesome, man. And I know we talked a little bit earlier, but tell our listeners about what you have going on in New Jersey, man. I'll definitely be promoting it for you. I know you're having a big foundational event in Atlantic City coming up in February, into this month.
Yeah, actually, it's turned into an annual kind of celebration since, you know, last year was our first fundraising event. It's pretty much turned into an annual. Around February this time, we do an event usually in Atlantic City or somewhere in the Northeast. We have a networking event at the Chelsea Hotel in downtown Atlantic City, pretty much giving an opportunity for other nonprofits and other small business owners and entrepreneurs to kind of platform and be able to mingle and network some of their businesses and some of their philanthropic work that they're doing. And then we're having a red carpet affair from 10 until at the Chelsea Hotel, where we're just going to celebrate and have a good time. I mean, ultimately, there's been a lot of work that's been done this far, this 2000 past 2012. So, you know, we're looking to, you know, celebrate and give an opportunity to invite some troops in the local area, whether in Fort Dix, McGuire Air Force Base, Dover Air Force Base, whatever in that surrounding tri-state area. We invite troops to come out and celebrate with, again, a few other professional guys, former and active guys that are going to come. Last year we had Sean Green from the New York Jets, a good friend of mine, and Jason Thompson, another good friend of mine, plays for the Sacramento Kings, and Albert Young, former Minnesota Vikings. And hopefully this year we'll get some more support, have some more guys come and support at the networking event as well as the red carpet affair. But again, you know, this is it's going to be on the 23rd at the Chelsea Hotel in downtown Atlantic City.
Oh, man, that's awesome, man. Hopefully I'll be able to make that flight up, man, for that. I'm going to do my best to do that.
Hopefully.
But let's get back to the Blackout Bowl. So as a player, man, I don't know where you were watching the game, man, on Sunday night. What did you think about that blackout during the Super Bowl Sunday night?
I think it was a definite momentum changer. It definitely shifted it, the momentum. And luckily, the Ravens were able to, you know, bounce back, but you could see the shift, and it just seemed like the 49ers responded. They needed that moment to regroup, to huddle up, and the coaches got fired up and got on them. And then the Ravens kind of came out sluggish. And then, I mean, ultimately as a player, you never want to, you know, shut down, you know, and then you're stretching and trying to keep warm, and obviously then you get distracted. And I mean, it could have been a nightmare, honestly, for both teams. Fortunately, you know, the Ravens came out victorious, and they had the momentum, but they lost it for a while.
Right, and we know as being players, D, that momentum is a tricky thing, man. It goes back and forth, but once you lose it, I mean, and I was there at the game. I mean, you see the lights off. Everyone in the stadium was partying, including me with my libation, but the players are just stretching. They're getting on the bike. And really, in all reality, man, San Francisco had two halftimes. They had a halftime. Jacoby Jones came out, took it for about 109 yards, does his Ray Lewis dance. I'm saying to myself, game is over. This is about to be a blowout. It's about to be all over. And then the lights go out. And then, as you can see, when the guys came back on the field, and then on everyone was sluggish, and it gave San Fran a chance to get back into the game. So, I mean, I think that definitely affected the game. I mean, easily San Fran could have won that game based on that the blackout and having that time to regroup everybody. You know, it's like a boxer. If he sits in the corner long enough, you're punching him. He sits in the corner long enough to recover, he's going to come out punching.
Right.
And regroup, you know, that's additional coaching, additional filming on the sidelines. I mean, so that would have been the story of the game if San Francisco would have came back and won. I mean, I thought that would have been crazy. If you just tuned in, I'm on with my man Derek Faulkner, former Philadelphia Eagle. Give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. Again, that's 1-888-346-9144. Super Bowl New York next year, default.
MetLife. It's going to be a tough one. I mean, the weather.
40 degrees.
Tough.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be, I mean, with us being up north guys somewhat, you know, we're somewhat used to the cold weather. But the Super Bowl, man, do you think New York's going to pull it off?
Honestly, I think that the Super Bowl is turning into, you know, almost a national holiday. I'm hearing people, you know, taking off work Monday just for the Super Bowl. So, obviously, I think it's always going to be a big generator, and it's going to, you know, it's always going to be a big celebration. It's going to be a great game. But, you know, with it being in an open stadium in New Jersey, in North Jersey, you never know what the weather is up here. I mean, it's snow one day, and it'll be 60 the next. You just never know. So, when they're talking about not having a halftime show, I think that it's going to be difficult, but, I mean, you know, they've committed. And I think that, honestly, being a guy from New Jersey and seeing what happened with Sandy, Jersey needs something to celebrate, man, definitely up in North Jersey. And I think that the same way that New Orleans was able to generate a lot of revenue this last weekend or last week, per se, with all the festivities, you know, Jersey needs it also. And, you know, there's a lot of our shores that are hurting. That's another reason why I'm going to continue to do an event in Atlantic City, Athletes with Vets, because of that. I mean, it's definitely unfortunate what happened to our shores, and that's something that's big. And for me, you know, I mean, growing up in Jersey, the shore areas are big for Jersey, New Jerseyans, and for us to have a lot of our shores washed away, we need something to smile about. Honestly, it's going to be a difficult summer. I would say this summer is going to be very difficult for a lot of people.
Right. I mean, and that's a great point, Default. I didn't even think about that. I mean, Jersey did get hit hard, and, you know, the revenue that a Super Bowl can generate, you know, coming into a city like that, coming in New Jersey, man, can just do nothing but help the city. And as you say, you guys deserve, you know, something to celebrate. You know, a lot of people right now still don't have power, D. You know, still don't have power, still don't have heat. And, you know, we're now in, you know, February, you know, so hopefully, you know, the money that they, the government signed off, you know, for Sandy relief, you know, hopes to gets to those families, and hopefully the revenue from the Super Bowl as well, man, trickles down to the right people, man, and make sure you guys can rebuild New Jersey. And no, sure, you know, I'm a Philly guy, so
yeah.
I know about the Jersey Shore. You know, it's just as important for me to get over there to Jersey. I mean, I grew up in Wildwood, New Jersey. That was my place to go every summer coming up.
So, right.
You know, I know what it means to kids around in that area.
Right. You look over in Seaside, where they used to shoot the show, Jersey Shore, that's pretty much gone. Point Pleasant, Belmore, all of those shores are hurt. I mean, the boardwalk in Atlantic City is it's semi there, but I mean, again, you know, those shore areas, a lot of people's beach houses are gone. People that spend 6 months out of their year there don't have a home, don't have a shore home, and I mean, it's unfortunate, but I think Jersey will recover. I think our governor Christie is working with the right folks to do what he has to do, but it ultimately comes down to, again, the NFL can find ways to, you know, help generate some more money for us. For that area would be great. I mean, you still have the Jets and the Giants that play in that area. There's so many things that we could do that can help. And again, the Super Bowl will be one of those. It's just, you know, putting the right festivities and putting the right, you know, events in order to help. You know, in that area, as the Super Bowl comes closer, I think the planner will be definitely very, very important, and to see how they balance. I'm interested to see how they balance the events in Jersey and in the events in the city in New York. I mean, you'll definitely, you know, be able to split between the two, but hopefully, you know, be more so on the Jersey side.
Well, just a heads up, man, I actually had a chance to run into the New York Super Bowl committee while I was down there, man. So they're planning to actually split as many events as possible between New York and New Jersey. Is what they tell me, man. So hopefully, you know, I mean, that's going to work out. You got to get some great events. I mean, the Super Bowl is technically in Jersey, so I will hope you guys got a majority of events, you know, to be able to take place in New Jersey and bring that revenue back. We got about 2 minutes left, D, man. I definitely want to give people listening a chance to touch bases with you, man, and the information that you would like to give for them to touch bases on you and all the great work that you're doing.
Okay. Again, my name is Derek Faulkner. I'm the founder and CEO of the Athletes for Vets Foundation. We doing philanthropic work with our military veterans, and also working with families of fallen soldiers and dependents, youth dependents. We have a scholarship program that we're raising money to give out scholarships at the beginning of the summer for incoming freshmen of military dependents, of active and reservist troops, families. We have another foundational event in Atlantic City on February 23rd in Atlantic City. The website for the event is avrsvp.com. And you can also follow us at Twitter, Athletes for Vets, Facebook, /Athletes for Vets. And our website is www.athletesforvets.org. Again, we look forward to seeing you, and please continue to support us and continue to support our troops.
Hey, Default, man, hats off to you, man. You're doing a great thing out there in New Jersey, homie. I would definitely give you a shout. And thanks for joining me today, man. I really appreciate it. Keep up the good work, my man.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, D. That's my man, Derek Faulkner, a former Philadelphia Eagle, man, doing great things in New Jersey, man. Make sure you follow him, Athletes for Veterans. We'll be back, LATG Radio.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
This is Kurt Schilling, and this is my Life After the Game.
Welcome back, LATG Radio, coming to you live from Connecticut School of Broadcasting. This segment is brought to you by Voodoo Barbecue and Grill in Prairieville, Louisiana, right outside of New Orleans. They did a great job taking care of us this weekend. We had a live broadcast with my Voice America family there, and the food was delicious. Definitely shout out to Chad, who took care of us over there, man. I may have to come back for a plate, man. Something has to get done. How about New Orleans food for you, man? I mean, New Orleans food compared to what? What can you compare New Orleans food to?
Memphis barbecue.
That's pretty good.
I'm well. I'm from Memphis, so.
Oh, I'm biased. Well, yeah, I'm from Philly, so I would say, you know, yeah, Philadelphia.
I've had some gumbo. I had some really good stuff, but I'm just saying, Memphis barbecue. Man. I just don't think anywhere in the country touches it. I mean, yes, I know Chicago got some good stuff when it comes to the barbecue, but I'm just saying, Memphis. Yeah, I grew up there. I'm from there. I'm born there. I'm biased, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand that being a Memphis man, but along with the barbecue was the catfish and the crawfish. The jambalaya and oh my goodness, all that stuff that put my diet to hell. So it was definitely a great job. So Chef, definitely shout out again to Chad. But all about me, but that's what it was all about. The Players Networking event. For all my listeners that don't know, the Players Networking event.
If you might be asking, out of all the places that got the best food in the country, which place would probably put the most calories and most pounds on you? New Orleans?
Calories and most pounds.
Where can you go and get fat?
New Orleans, you can go and get fat. Oh. I mean, you can go anywhere and get fat.
Yeah.
But you can get fat in New Orleans without a conscience because the food tastes so good, you don't even care.
I mean, you just eat like one sandwich. You don't even care. You can get a po' boy, that's it.
You can get a po' boy. I mean, po' boy, like a foot-long po' boy. Yeah. I mean, stuffed with catfish and crawfish. And shout out to the Swamp people on History Network. I didn't get a chance to visit the Swamp this trip to New Orleans. I'm definitely going to make the next one, man. But shout out to Guy Troop and Troop 21, the Player Networking event. For all players that don't know, Players Networking event is in their 13th season. And what we do is we create opportunities for corporations interested in seeking marketing, shadowing, and internships by former NFL players. So we have some great companies there, man. Some great finance companies, some great accounting companies. Anything you can think of, man, to help guys make that transition from football to life after football.
Now, see, if more people knew this about you guys.
Right.
If more people knew that you guys do things like this outside of your life in football, outside of the game. In your normal everyday lives, they would be a little more informed than they actually are.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, you know, everybody has their life that they have to tend to, so it's hard, you know, to understand. I mean, you see us on the football field as football players.
I mean, yeah, we just see the
and you just think, and people think, you know, we come in, we go to practice. You know, we have a lot of successful businessmen, not only that are retired, but actually playing. You know, unfortunately, we only hear the bad stories.
Oh, sadly.
You know, and that's what life after the game, that's what this radio show is all about, to bring some of those stories to life. And I've had some shows with some guys that have come on here and talk about their misfortunes, you know, some of the things that they have done and they've regretted.
Who would you say is the Magic Johnson of life after football, in your opinion? I mean, someone after left the game and in business, they're just doing fantastic.
Man, you know what? Believe it or not, Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis.
Has a lot of business ventures that he is a part of. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees owns half of New Orleans.
As in what, land or?
Real estate, land, partnerships.
Oh, okay.
Drew's going to be okay. You know, so you look at, but you know, you get a high profile name. It's always going to come a little easier for those guys. They're the Wheaties Box guys. But we all have that opportunity because as players, we all have that platform.
So like Keyshawn Johnson, who owns
Keyshawn's doing great out there.
He has an interior decorator business.
Vernon Davis has an interior decorator business. He has an art business. Yeah. Keyshawn has a couple Panera Breads out there in L.A., interior design. So a lot of guys are doing well.
Does he still own that restaurant called Rain?
You know what? I don't know if Key has that. And I actually talked to him on this weekend. I didn't even ask him if he still had that. But there are a lot of guys doing well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that needs to get out there. That's why I'm asking you that.
Right.
Because you turn on SportsCenter and you hear about the guy in the drunk driving, the sad DUI situation.
Right. Yeah, now, I played for the Lions. Yeah. And as we know, last year, all of them, half, like 13 to 14 Detroit Lions got locked up last year. You know, so.
That must have been awful.
I'm going to support my team. I love my line. Shout out, Detroit. What up, though? 313. I love y'all. But we got to do better.
I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan, and they hear about the guy and the practice squad dying and the accident.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, it's all about getting the positivity out there. You know, there's a lot of guys out here doing positive things.
We got to get that image out there.
There's a lot of guys out here doing some real, real, real positive things out there. So the network event was well, man. We had a live broadcast from Voice America Sports. Shout out to Jeff Spinard. Shout out to Ryan. All those guys took great care of us out there, man. Guy True, Ray Ellis, all the Voice America family, and God made some really, really good connections. If you can see, this is a stack of cards that I brought from that one event.
I see.
These are all business connections. And I'll run down. Vice President, private banker, GM of the Detroit Lions, my buddy Martin Mayhew came in and got an award. Paul Byrne, Chief Financial Officer, USFL. Chief Executive Officer of Reebok Marketing.
Good
attorneys. Lord. Motivational speakers. Coaching gurus.
That's what's up.
Everything. Anything you can imagine, you know, they made it available. You know, nonprofit, how to get your nonprofit started. So
yeah.
That's really what it's all about, you know, after the game. You know, we try to get guys to play it forward. It's all about playing it for, you know, we're all not going to play forever. I played 5 years on the field, a year in the front office. When I went to the NFL, well, I'm going to play 10 years and I'm going to shut it down. It never works out that way. So we can get guys to play it forward. And I know the best thing about the player network event this past weekend,
yeah,
the players that were active, that were only in the league for 1 or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Harris Jr. from the Denver Broncos, Ronnie Curran from the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Second and third year guys in the NFL already focusing on their life after the game.
Oh, sweet.
And that's what it's all about. You know, definitely shout out to those guys. Chris, yes, great interviews. Those guys were awesome.
Before we go to the next segment, could you tell me about that experience you had in the Detroit Lions front office? You said, right, you were there a year. I mean, what, right, was that like? You did scout players or you?
No, I was actually in the scouting and marketing department. And so it's a program that the NFL has where former players come in, mm-hmm, and it's kind of bittersweet because Andre Waters, I'm very active in the concussions as far as, and Andre Waters, yeah, actually, I grew up in Philadelphia idolizing,
yeah,
Andre Waters. The same year I was there for that internship, yeah, with the Lions.
That was tragic.
And shout out to Martin Mayhew and Sheldon for giving me that opportunity to intern up there with the Lions. Andre was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a chance to talk with Andre. I had a chance to speak with Andre. And, you know, Andre, I modeled my game after you. You're someone that I grew up watching and emulating on the football field. And Andre looked at me and said, well, how do you feel? Now, you got to understand, I was 30 years old. After my last year in the NFL, I was about 28 years old. About 30 years old, I didn't understand what Andre was saying. Then he commits suicide.
Oh, God.
Then my Dave Dorson, who's a colleague of mine at Voice America Sports, yeah, you know, committed suicide. Then, you know, now, Junior say, yeah, of course, all the other guys, you know. So so it all plays a part in your transition because the more you know, the least educated are always the most exploited. And so the more that you know what's going on with yourself, when you're buying your opportunities, because I think the sad thing with all of that is that nobody knew that something was wrong with them until it was too late.
Yeah.
These are guys that could play golf, that were playing golf. I believe Junior said I was playing golf the day before.
Where were you when you heard David Dorson took his own life?
I was on the couch reading a book. And I got a text message saying from a friend of mine over at CNN, and knows that, you know, I'm very involved in NFLPA, mm-hmm, you know, Dave Dorson just, you know, committed suicide and, mm-hmm, asked that his brain be donated. And so that hit me hard. But Andre hit me a little harder.
Okay.
Dave Dorson was a colleague. I never had a chance to speak with him. He was just a colleague. I never had a chance. But I knew Andre Waters personally. I grew up idolizing Andre Waters. I spent that summer internship with him, getting to know him well and speaking to him. And it was kind of hard, you know. And one of the things that the older players and we speak with that, my contract was built on their back.
Mm.
Everything that I had as an NFL player was built on what they did before I got there. And I really have a lot of respect for that. So you have an opportunity to help the younger guys out now and say, listen, not only can I give you advice, but I can tell you how to survive when football is over. Not just mentally, but financially as well. So mentally, financially, spiritually, emotionally, it's another journey you have to take. NFL is the highest paid temp job you'll ever have. It's just a temp job. Can't play forever.
Temp job.
It's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The highest paid temp job you have. I mean, the Ray Lewis's, the Brett Favre's, the Jerry Rice's, ESPN will be signing them to a contract.
Oh, yeah. Ray Lewis is heading.
I can't wait to see him on air. I think Ray's going to be awesome. All of us aren't afforded those opportunities. Mm-hmm. But it's not to say that we don't have opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all about getting out those opportunities out there. Talk about LATG Radio, P&E Network, and event, Voice America Sports. Give us a call, 1-888-346-9144. Give me a shout on Twitter at Life After T Game. So, yeah, it was an awesome event. You know, guys got really connected, some great opportunities, and that's really what it's all about. You know, people don't understand that. When you look at the Super Bowl, a lot of people just think of it as a big party. For players, that's our convention.
Oh, convention.
That's our time to get together. What are you doing now? We're networking. I mean, you figure NFL's a billion-dollar business. Every company in America has a stake in a Super Bowl. You're having a party, whether you're promoting something, whether you're a sponsor, this is a chance to shake hands, rub elbows, and create opportunities for yourself.
Just merchandise sales alone.
Alone. You know, I had a great conversation about some merchandising, had some great conversations with, you know, picking the brand of the Morgan Stanley guy, the Goldman Sachs guy.
Oh, really?
You know, you get an opportunity to meet these guys, and you're not paying to meet them. We're hanging out, we're having a beer,
yeah,
and we're talking finance. We're talking, what should I invest in next year? You get free advice from these big guys, the head of the financial world, over a beer. You're not paying $5,000 to sit down in the office and speak with them.
Stand in line. You don't have to stand in line.
Hey, man, what are you investing in this year? What would be a good investment? And you're getting those type of conversations. I mean, so those are the things that people don't realize to go down for. That's why it's important for us. People a lot of times think we just go down to party, which is somewhat true. We do go down to party at times.
I know I would.
Shout out to the NFLPA. Players' party was awesome.
If I was there, I would.
But, yeah, you know, so it's the task for us to network, to get together, and it's really a big reunion and a big convention for all of us. And so that's really what it's all about. We can't wait for P&E event in 2014 in New York. As Derek said, you know, he made a great point. You know, New Jersey needs it. I think that New York needs it. I think it'll be good. And I think, you know, if it's good, for instance, Detroit had the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we pulled it off in the D.
Yeah, you did.
That was a great Super Bowl in Detroit. So if we can do it, and we're one of the lowest, I mean – they're dealing with hell up there financially in the city of Detroit. If we can pull it off, New York can definitely pull it off.
Me and from the South, where I grew up, if I participated in that Super Bowl, I would probably have to bundle up a heck of a lot more than you, because I'm not as embracive of the cold weather as, say, you northern guys.
Well, listen, I grew up in Philly. I grew up in Philly with the University of Wisconsin for 4 years, where it would be negative something for a week sometime.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I played in Detroit, and then ended up here in Atlanta. And so whenever it's cold, whenever it's 50 here and everyone's complaining about it being 50, I'm pretty good.
So I'm from the warmer climate, so I probably would complain about 48 degrees.
Like, man, it's only 48 degrees. I'm like, man, you don't know how good you got it. Chicago probably has 3 inches of snow. Philly probably has 4. Madison probably has 20. Trust me, I can live with 50. Give me a jacket and let's call it a day.
If I can make it to next year's game, I just have 3 or 4 sweaters on and a big coat.
I think it's gonna be awesome. I think it's gonna be awesome even in New York. I think it's all helped me. And I think Derek hit it right on the head. Jersey needs something to celebrate. A lot of people don't realize, and like we said in the earlier segment, you know, people don't have power in New Jersey. I have family in Asbury Park whose home was 10 feet underwater. I mean, so I have some people that were hit hard where Hurricane Sandy hits, and hopefully, you know, that revenue and the excitement of the most popular game in the world can bring that excitement back to New Jersey. So
let's hope so. I think it will.
I think we'll have exactly what we need, you know, to move forward. Got an email coming in from Linda from Florida. Hey, Linda, thanks for shooting us an email. Linda wanted to ask me how many drinks did I have at the Super Bowl. I had 5 bottles of water, Linda. I'm on the air. But as you can tell, my voice is a little hoarse from my events down there, but it was a great event. You know, for instance, we had, and shout out to Sharon Turner and Leading Ladies Spectacular. I had a chance to speak at their event on prevention of domestic violence, which is a big issue with some of the NFL players out here. So with people, period. But because we have a platform, it's ways that we can take advantage of our platform.
And it's a bigger deal when this happens.
And be heard. Right.
Yeah.
And be heard, because I've never been a witness to that, but I have little sisters. I know people that have been witness to domestic violence, and that's something that I believe, you know, we should definitely look at. You know, recently a Seattle Seahawks player just got charged with domestic violence with his wife. So,
Jeremy Stevens.
Yep, J. Steve. So, you know, we get to the point where what do we do with our celebrity?
Yeah, what do you do with your celebrity?
What do we do with it? Do we do what Derek does? Athletes for Vets, great cause, doing great things, giving scholarships. Mm-hmm. Is he leveraging it correctly? Of course. Or do we squander it? Do we squander it and do nothing with it at all? And that's your right. If you don't, I don't think as an NFL player you have to live anyone else's life but your own. If you want to be a James Harrison and beat people up on the field and then not do anything, that's his right. That's his right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not getting in trouble anywhere other than Roger Goodell. He's not out there getting in trouble or getting in jail, getting locked up or getting DUIs. But if you have a celebrity and you have a platform and you're something, this is your opportunity during this temp job to make yourself known.
Because people are watching you.
Oh, always. They're always watching you. You know, even if you think even the worst team in the NFL, they know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually make some big differences and make some great connections. And that's what it's all about. You know, making connections, making a difference. Because we've been blessed. You know, we don't have a right to play football. Mm-hmm. I was never thought I was that I would be a player in the NFL. That was not my goal. I just happened to be good at it. Okay, you're going to give me a scholarship for playing football? Cool. I'll take it. Free education.
What was I guess the question I would ask is, what was your defining moment? What let you know you could play this game at an elite level?
I had to cover Herman Moore my rookie year.
Wow.
I had to cover Herman Moore my rookie year. And I ate Herm up one day. Like, Herm could catch anything on me. Like, it was, you know, not that I was ever afraid. You know, you always have to respect. I mean, you watch, you know, the Lions play on Thanksgiving every year.
Yeah.
So if there's any game you watch, you know, you watch the Dallas game as a Dallas fan, you watch the Lions game. Those are the two
teams.
I watch both. Right, you know, so those teams you watch. So you knew all the Lions of Dallas players just by watching them. You knew that was one game everyone was going to watch every year. So I knew who Herman Moore was. I knew his stats. I knew how good of a player he was. And at that point, I was an undrafted free agent. I wasn't drafted.
Oh.
So I had nothing to lose in camp. So, okay.
You really had to earn your keep.
I said, I'm going to knock Barry out. Didn't happen. He shook me like 8 times. I said, I'm going to lock down Herman Moore. And I didn't, it wasn't a consistent thing, you know, Herman was a man. But I had one practice my rookie year when I went head to head with Herman and shut him down.
Wow.
Okay, that was practice. That was practice. Got to the game. Shout out to my man Terrence Mathis, T. Mathis, here with the Falcons. Came out there in preseason. Shut T. Mathis down. Okay. I think I'm all right. I think I'm okay. I think I can handle this. And ended up playing, you know, 5 years with the Lions. You know, best five years of my life. So it was a great opportunity for me, and didn't take advantage of some of the things, though. Didn't take advantage of the celebrity. Didn't take advantage because it was something that I had built up my entire life and said, you know, I want to be a football player. This was my plan. I was kind of like, wow, I'm playing, caught up in the moment. Wow, I'm in the NFL. All right, cool. I can take care of moms. I can take care of grandmoms. I can put my sisters through school.
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't think that I was going to be done gone in 5 years. Didn't realize how hard it was to stay in the NFL. It's extremely hard. When you see guys playing 10, 11, 12 years, people don't realize how difficult that is. That's extremely difficult every day.
They make it look so easy.
They do make it look easy. I mean, Ray did it for, oh my God.
Yeah, 13 or 14
years? 13, 14 years at the height of his game.
Yeah.
That's extremely difficult to handle day after day on your body, mentally, your family, the travel. Everything.
So, he was wearing that brace in his last game.
Shout out to my man, Ray Lewis, for going on top, going out on top.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? How about Ray Lewis going out on top? Shout out to my man.
Not many guys get to do that.
Not many. Not many at all. John Elway, there's not many of us.
Yeah.
Not many of all that walks away, you know, with a Super Bowl ring. And shout out to my man, Ed Reed, the most dangerous man on the defensive side of football in years. In years. Great guy. Shout out to NFL Films. I had a chance to do the NFL Films, top 10. So, hopefully that'll be coming on in April. I'll have a chance to see that as well. So, you know, just great times down there. You know, great camaraderie, great opportunities, great networking. You know, and that's what it's all about. But the key is to keep it going year round. To make sure we keep doing this show. Make sure Life After the Game gets the word out there that there are guys doing great things off the field, like my man Derek Faulkner, who joined us today. And that's what it's all about. Making, you know, it comes a lot of responsibility, a lot of opportunity. But you have the opportunity to give back and bring those funds and bring them back into your community. You can hear it through Derek.
Yeah.
How much he cared about New Jersey, being a New Jersey kid. You know, he really cared about Jersey, bringing Jersey back and doing his best, you know, to help kids out. Nah, so.
This is refreshing. You know, I just sitting here listening to you talk about all the positive things that players are doing after the game and off the field and away from sports.
Right.
This is just refreshing to hear because I'm just you know, my daily life, I'm at a 9-to-5 job and I'm just surrounded by the most uninformed, unknowing. Don't know diddly squat no more than what they saw in SportsCenter people I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, read a book, talk to a player like I'm doing right now.
Right.
Get to know these people away from the game, away from their profession. Maybe do a little more research than what you're already doing.
You know what? But that goes twofold. We had a great conversation this week. We have to make ourselves available too. Because people will just see us for who we are if we continue to just be that guy. If all you know is me as Lamar Campbell with a helmet on and as a Detroit Lion, that's all you know if I don't make myself available to you. If I don't approach you and say, listen, my name is Lamar Campbell, this is what else I do.
Okay.
You know, I'm only a football player from August, and if I'm lucky enough, to February. I have a whole another 6 months of things that I can do with myself. And so this is who I am. This is what I'm about. This is my foundation. This is my business aspirations. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm about. We have to make ourselves available, too. Because the opportunity isn't just going to fall into your lap.
Yeah.
The same way you got to the NFL, you created that opportunity. It didn't fall into our lap. You got to get out there and create other opportunities as well. Thanks for listening to us. Life After the Game. Always have the perfect state of mind for success. See you next week.
Thanks again for joining Lamar Campbell for Life After the Game. Be sure to listen to our program every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. May the coming week be one of greatness in your life. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.